All right, welcome back. Well, this week, Paul and I are going to discuss something we hit on recently, but it bears repeating, so we're going to hit on it again. You know, what money, what wealth, what capital is leaving your hands permanently that if you just captured a fraction of it, what kind of difference would that make over the course of your life and then even after you graduate? Right, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of talk about, we answered a client question, though, to begin, so listen to that. But we talked about, you know, you're losing money to taxes, you know, you're sending it out the door, vacations that you save up for and spend every year, kids' tuition, tithing, any number, escrow, any number of expenses that you pay on an annual or semi-annual, or even quarterly basis. Take a moment and think about those things. How can you create a new policy around some of those dollars, right? A percentage of all those dollars. And think about that, because it can be done.
Absolutely. Enjoy. Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right. Well, we're back. I heard the dog right when we hit.
Yeah,
record,
just before. So. Yeah, some little yippy dog was outside beginning to bark. Yeah. And that prompted my dog, who's napping on the couch, to, hey.
Yeah. So one of my girls just told me last night, we're getting a dog Monday, which was news to me. No, I don't know. Maybe we're getting a dog.
What are we getting? Kind of doodle?
Yeah, a mini something doodle.
Something doodle.
That doesn't shed.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't eat a whole lot, or hopefully doesn't yap a whole lot. But yeah, so that's what I'm being told. So we'll see.
All right. Well, congratulations.
I mean, I'll just come home one day and there'll be a dog there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted another. We were going through names, and I got all the boys on my side, and we voted for the name Ron Burgundy. I think that'd be a cool dog's name. Hey, Ron Burgundy.
But it needs to be like two syllables.
That's what I always say. Yeah. So I think the winning name right now is Louie.
Louie. Yeah. That's my father-in-law's name.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's catchy. I agree. Two syllables. It's got to be. You can't be like Pete. Or no. Rex or something like that. It's got to be two syllables.
Yeah, like two syllable dog names.
Yeah.
Anyway, chime in with what you think, folks.
Yeah, sure. Give me some ideas. But I think it would just be fun to yell Ron Burgundy throughout the neighborhood when I'm looking for the dog. maybe I will. All right. Anyway, well, I'm back in the office for the summer because kids are home from school. So I'll get some work done here. We wanted to start with, something you were just talking to somebody recently about, who had a question about maybe the best way to use a chunk of money, you know, and should they run it through a policy or, you know, all at once or over a number of years, or just use the cash. Thanks for moving the laundry.
I just noticed. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, that would look pretty, pretty ghetto.
Really ghetto. We're starting to like pack up boxes and stuff, and stuff's just starting to, it's starting to be everywhere.
Yep, time to purge.
Yeah. Oh, and we have been. So anyway, sorry about that, everybody. If you're watching on YouTube, that was not any of my stuff, for the record.
I'm sure. Yeah. So tell us about the conversation you had this week.
Yeah. So I was talking to, you know, a buddy of mine. He's got a client that he's retired Army colonel, still pending like his next career. I don't know, waiting for the job to start or still looking. I'm not really sure, but, you know, needs a new car. Not wants a new car, needs a new car. And I usually say, well, you don't really need a new car, but this guy probably does. He's got 230 or 250,000 miles on the vehicle. So a guy who is defeated Parkinson's law, clearly.
Right.
You know, running that thing into the, you know, until the wheels fall off. So that's great.
It must be a Honda or a Toyota or a Nissan.
Yeah, it's probably one of the first two, I would say.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway. And he posed this question to my friend. He's like, hey, I've got $50,000 in a savings account and I need a new car. can I just pay like a single premium and then wait a couple of weeks, take, you know, and then take a policy loan and buy the car? So he, you know, reaches out to me. He's like, Paul, what do you think? This doesn't really make any sense. And I was like, no, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Could you do that? Could you set up a modified endowment contract, a single pay policy, and do that? Sure. Yes, yes, you could. But as Nelson tells us in the book, and of course, common sense, we don't want to have a modified endowment contract. One of the main reasons for practicing the infinite banking concept with participating whole life insurance is that you want tax-favored status of the insurance product. You don't want to give that up and then just turn your insurance product into a qualified plan with a death benefit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could, but is it the best thing to do? No. So what are some other options?
No, I think what I would do is, you know, erring on the side of liquidity, I would probably just finance the car through the dealership. They probably have decent, I've seen ads for decent rates and, you know, no money down, whatever. And I would probably explore those options first and see what they bring to the table. And then I would use the $50,000 to stay liquid, or I would start my infinite banking concept journey. He has convertible term. He has $1 million of convertible term that is ready to transform into a whole life policy. So I would probably take the $50,000 and create a policy around that $50,000, maybe with some early POA up front, like a single paid up addition, and then a base in PUA annual premium on top of that to kind of eat up all the $50,000 while maintaining a good amount of liquidity as well for the guy. Yeah. That's probably what I would do.
Well, so I'm assuming though, somebody in that position, if they've got a car that they've driven for however many years and put over 200,000 miles on it, and then they're kind of forced at some point to buy a new car, they've probably done pretty well saving money elsewhere.
Yeah.
So somebody like that would be ideal to, hey, you've got this $50,000, let's get that into a policy, let's start it and build a premium around that that's manageable and meaningful. But what else are you saving? Where else are you putting your money? And how much else can be diverted and captured into your policy through premium?
Yeah, that's right. And that, man, what a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about kind of again, because I think it's come up again recently with clients of yours and clients of mine in our own separate businesses, where, you know, people are trying to be more efficient to create that perpetual tailwind and stop, you know, we talked about plugging holes in your financial bucket last week or the week before. Maybe that recording hasn't come out yet. I'm not sure, but we've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. Of recapturing money we're otherwise losing forever to quarterly tax payments, to tuition, to tithing, to whatever, and capturing that in our system of life insurance policies first before it goes out the door forever. So anyway.
Yeah. It, like you said, it's something that we should be repeating, because that's one of the biggest parts about this is when people start researching this, understanding infinite banking and the fact that they can reuse those dollars over and over throughout the rest of their life, then they start to think, well, where else can I capture more dollars that I can reuse? Where am I saving money for a one-time expense? Or maybe now take a moment and think about your annual expenses. Maybe you have one annual expense for something, or maybe you have it's an expense that's twice a year. Some examples you already stated, it could be private school tuition or maybe college tuition. It could all be paid up front. Could be, you know, a membership to a country club or whatever other memberships you have there. There you got to see that dog that you have. We're going to interrupt real quick because Paul just showed us his dog. It doesn't bark. It doesn't yap. That's not the one that ever makes the noise.
Deaf. And probably mostly blind. So that's Remy. He's 17.
Did he retire from the Army too?
He retired, yeah.
Okay.
He's 17 years old. So he, I don't think he's heard anything in five years. I think he's been deaf for a while, since probably 2020, or mostly deaf. But he's completely deaf and mostly, he's got cataracts.
Okay.
But other than that,
17 years. He's kicking.
All of his friends are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, still kicking. Great dog.
All right. So back to where I was, the big payments you have every year, it could be your escrow. And if you aren't escrowing for your own mortgage, your taxes and insurance, you should look into that. Because if you're responsible and you're not going to spend that money, you're actually going to save it, you might as well save it and keep it in your own, under your own control. There's taxes, a lot of self-employed people. Even if you're not fully self-employed, you've got another job, but if you have any self-employment income, you've got a tax obligation that you're probably putting away for quarterly or maybe an annual tax payment. That's money. That's cash that you are saving somewhere that could be captured in a policy as premium that you could use over and over for the rest of your life. So a lot of people may think, there's some people that start and they say, yes, I want to capture everything. Go to page 48 of Nelson's book, Becoming Your Own Banker, and expanding the system to accommodate all income. How fast can I get there? Well, I'd say pull back a little bit. It's not a race. You don't have to get there today. You're not going to get there with your first policy. You're not going to get there with your second or third. It's going to be a series of years and policies before you get to that point where you're funneling nearly everything through your policies.
Right.
But there's some place you can start today. So I've got an example. I don't know if you want to add to that before I go to kind of a case study on somebody I'm working with.
No, we have very similar examples, but I would say you mentioned a few episodes ago, or we were just chatting one day about incorporating, annual vacations. Some people take multiple vacations per year. They have spring break, they have a fall break, they have summer break, whatever. So they're taking multiple vacations, and that's, let's face it, your family of four, you're going away for a week, you're dropping $5,000-$10,000. Easy.
Sure. Yeah.
Easy. So that's something to think about as well. That's a hole in a bucket that you can partially plug.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that you can plan for, anything you know you have coming down the road that you're saving for, where are you saving the money? It's as simple as that.
It matters. Yeah.
Right? Your money has to reside somewhere. So I'm working with somebody and we're closing out some policies for him and his wife. And he detailed his finances. And in his finances, he had line items for annual or biannual expenses. One was private school tuition. One was his estimated taxes that he's got to have saved up somewhere so he can pay that bill. One was his escrow for his mortgage. He's doing that himself. And then I think there was one more. Tithing, giving. So charity. He added all this up and it came up to about, call it $40,000. Well, it's going a step too far to say, hey, let's get all 40,000 of this into the policy, premium throughout the year. Because, realize if you put 40 in, you're not going to have 40 available in the first year. There's going to be, it's going to take time to build up that liquidity. So what we say, well, how much of it can we capture? And supplement that. It's kind of like an add-on. First, take what you're saving, what you can put away every month after all expenses, and then add on what expenses can I also add to this premium? And we took a fraction, a percentage of that total, and added that onto what he and his wife could save on a monthly basis anyway, or an annual basis. So we didn't capture all of it, but we captured some of it, which over time is going to make an enormous difference because he'll have enough liquidity now because that's just been a fraction of that added on top of the premium he had decided to pay with his free cash flow will provide enough liquidity for him to take that loan to go pay his escrow whenever that comes due. And then what's he do over the next 6 months? Well, he's going to have that exact same escrow payment due 6 months from now. And he's got to save for it. So just on a monthly basis, putting the money back toward repaying that loan. And then it's available for him to borrow again and just recycle the whole process. But he captured some of it.
Yep.
Right? You don't got to capture all of it just yet. That could take a long time. But you're capturing some. And once you get comfortable with that, then the next policy you create, you realize maybe I can capture a little bit more of what's leaving my hands. What kind of difference does that make over your lifetime?
A tremendous difference. If you're talking about in terms of dollars of premium paid, you're putting in pennies, you're getting dollars in death benefit, dollars in cash value. So as the policies or your system of policies mature, this whole strategy of capturing our expenses becomes even easier and easier to incorporate.
Right.
So 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road, when you've got some mature policies that you started with just free cash flow, right, your savings, those policies are now kind of liquidity hubs so that you can start a strategy like this, incorporate my vacation, my tithing, my tuition, my quarterly taxes, my escrow, whatever it may be, medical bill maybe that's coming up. Who knows what it is? Incorporate that into that new policy structure, and you know, use a combination of the whole system of policies to do what you need to do, whether it's make the quarterly tax payment. And that's what my client is going to do as well. Exactly what we just discussed, sending, you know, $80,000 a year to the IRS, mm-hmm. quarterly tax payments. He's a good guy, and he pays on time and very organized, right? But that's a lot of money to lose out of your family.
Yeah, you to figure lose permanently.
Permanently.
Yeah.
So you're talking, let's just round it up, because it'll be, let's say it's $100,000 just for easy numbers over the next, you know, he's in his early 40s. So another 20 years of losing $100,000. So you send $2 million to the IRS. And what does he have to show for? Well, Paul, you know, taxes pay for the military and pay for streets and firemen. Like, be quiet. Like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. But anyway, that's $2 million of potential premium. And if he captures a quarter of it, that's $500,000 of premium, which will produce, like, you know, well over 1 million plus, 1.5 million, 2 million of death benefits someday.
Yeah.
So it's, and cash value that he can actually use to do other things, invest, spend, whatever.
Right. I think it would be fair to say, if you take a fraction of what that tax bill is and put that into premium, and that's going to buy some death benefit that's going to continue to rise every year until you graduate. When you do graduate, your family is going to receive back potentially all that money you ever paid in taxes because of the death benefit it creates. Imagine that. Taking a fraction, I don't know what that fraction is. Maybe it's 25%.
Yeah, we don't have 50%. Special.
Yeah,
we don't have a formula that, and it's impossible to predict because tax rates change, and we're not going to do that. But the concept is sound.
Yeah, but imagine you took 20% of what your estimated taxes are every year and funnel that through a policy to buy what you're getting, the cash value, and you're also getting this death benefit.
Yeah.
And when you graduate decades from now, your family's going to be repaid for all that money you paid to Uncle Sam. Like, that's a way to recapture every dollar you ever paid in taxes. So
yeah,
it never left your family, you know?
Right. I suppose you could say you, it's not like, I don't think it's correct to say that you didn't pay taxes, but you at least, you recouped the money that left your family.
It's the net effect is that you didn't pay taxes.
Right.
Because you recouped everything you paid in. It's almost like, hey, I paid these taxes, but it's really just a savings account. My family's going to get that back when I graduate. You know, if you think about it like that. Again, we don't have the magic formula. I don't know what that number is, but it's something more than what you're getting right now back. What your family's getting back.
It's something more than zero.
It's something more than zero, which your family is not going to frown upon.
No, not at all. And that's, you know, that's that, you know, that recapture of, you know, Nelson talks about interest recapture. This is just another kind of branch off of that, of just recapturing money that you're going to spend it anyway. It's going to leave. You're going to make that quarterly tax payment. You're going to do that annual tithing. You are going to pay that annual tuition. But it's money that is going to leave your family forever.
Yeah.
So I really do. You take pennies of that and get dollars in return over the long run.
And you mentioned, you know, a couple minutes ago, you mentioned, hey, 5 or 10 years down the road, what you built. And I think a lot of times we have a hard time thinking 5 or 10 years down the road, because that's not the world we live in. Like, we're trying to get through today. We're trying to get through this this year. What's coming up in the next couple months? You know, financially, am I going to make my goal by the end of the year? And I think we often underestimate what we can do over the next 5 to 10 years, because that seems so far away. It's almost like most people don't want to think that far ahead. And it's really not that far away, because if you look back 10 years, it's a lot easier to see how quickly time goes when you look behind you and you say, hey, what's transpired over this last 10 years? Holy cow, that's gone fast. Just look at pictures of your kids from 10 years ago. It's nuts. So how quickly is the next 10 years going to go? And when you look back 10 years from now, what are you going to hope you did today? Like, man, I wish I would have. What do we always hear from people? I wish I would have heard about this 20 years ago.
Yep. And I wish my premium was bigger.
Yeah. Right. So it's
all the time.
So I think if we thought in 5-year increments, that's something that has really transformed my thinking over the last few years, especially is 5-year increments. A lot can transpire in just 5 years. And it's really not that long of a time.
No, it's, to quote billionaire Dan Pena, it's not a fart in the wind.
Okay. I don't know Dan Pena.
He's the guy that like yells all the time and, you know, he's arguing with these like climate change people and he's like, shut up, sit down. Like, I'll send you the clip after this. It's from several years ago, but it's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely send me the clip. Maybe we should post it in the notes.
Super, it's super funny. Yeah. He swears a lot too, but he's a
wait. Is he the old guy who he's older, really sharp,
sharp as
very
a
blunt? Oh yeah,
yes,
yeah. You've sent me some of his, and yeah, it is. Some of it can be pretty vulgar.
It's pretty vulgar.
he just gets to the point. That's for sure.
He does get to the point. He doesn't hold anything back.
Yeah. So I mean, don't let this time slip by. Where are you losing money forever? Capture some of it. It doesn't have to be all of it. It doesn't have to be a ton of it. Capture some of it somewhere. Ideally, we recommend inside a properly designed whole life insurance, dividend paying whole life insurance policy, because you're creating an asset that's going to grow every single year, and you're not going to regret doing it 10 years from now.
No, one of the things my client says, he's like, you know, Paul, by doing this, I'm creating an additional future guaranteed cash flow that is going to be many times over what I've paid into it, right? Yeah. Many times over what it is in premium. And that really has, one of my best clients, just a, you know, big brain guy, but just has really, rethought his thinking since he discovered, you know, he's been my client for, I don't know, 3 years now or something. Really has rethought his thinking, just like Nelson says, you got to rethink your thinking. Mm-hmm. Really has started to develop a deeper understanding of the whole life product, because that's integral to how this all works, right? Like, we'll fill in the blanks for you, but you really need to understand that this is really only possible using this special product.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it with anything else, because everything else is a sinking fund, unless you're going to do margin loans from your, which you're not going to do. You're not doing that.
And certainly, I mean, I've got a client who does margin loans actually, but you're not going to find another product that has these guarantees.
No.
That guaranteed future windfall for the family and a present use value that you can put to work.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be there.
You know, if you're listening and you have gone, you know, done an initial phone call and you just don't get it, I would read that book again and I would read it again. We've had clients that read it 4 times. In fact, the gentleman who does our social media for us read the book 4 times before he reached out to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
can't read it too many times. I love getting on with clients and they're like, I was just rereading Nelson's book and I found this. Can you explain this to me?
Yeah,
because every time you read it, you're going to have a new epiphany or a new question, probably both.
Yeah, I was having an epiphany just before we started to record. I was just rereading like page 4 or something, which is like the second page of the beginning of the book. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, at the top of that paragraph, there's something. What the heck does he say? I might as well break it out because you're like, what does he say, Paul? Yeah. Right. Let me read this. It's at the start of the bottom of page 3. From this residence, one can do, meaning whole life insurance, one can do anything one can conceive. This is an advantage, and I would say this is a distinct advantage that most folks ignore in their thought process and therefore limits their effectiveness? Use your imagination.
Yeah. And guess what? Your imagination gets better with use.
Yes. The more you touch and understand and interact and practice the IBC, I just said the IBC, in your life, we've had clients, they just have these paying significant premium. They have these epiphanies and they're just like, oh my God, I just found more premium.
Yeah. But your imagination really does get better with use in this concept because you need to be creative. You need to be imaginative. And when you start thinking like that, you just get more creative over time. And then you put yourself around other people who are of the same mindset, like listen to the podcast, find other people. Like when I started 15 years ago, I did not know anybody. The only person I knew that did this was the guy who introduced me to it and designed my policies for me. And I'm still very good friends with him today and business partners with him. But I didn't know anybody else. I was on my own. And anytime I talked about it, people just look at you weird, you're an idiot. But now there's plenty of people. I think you won't have a hard time engaging in some kind of Facebook group, some kind of chat. Reddit talks about it all the time, but it's fun to get in there and just learn from other people, the creativity. I would probably avoid the ones where people are hating on it. Like join some closed groups. Maybe there's some closed groups you can be a part of where people are going to have the right attitude and talk about what they've done and the difference it's made in their lives. Just like we do on the podcast episodes every week. It should, engage your creativity, but it does make it easier to be creative too. And the way I think about money now and the most productive use of my dollars now, I have so many different ideas. I was thinking of a windfall I'm kind of expecting or kind of planning on, like it may or may not come down the road here sometime this year.
I'm eagerly awaiting.
Yeah. But it's hard not to game plan for it. Like, okay, if it does show up, what am I going to do with this? And I've kind of created a diagram and a flow chart, here's one option. And then if I go that route, I can do these other things as well. Or here's another option. And then I can do these. Now my toughest decision is which one do I choose? Because they're all superior options than anything I've ever been exposed to before. Because I'm around infinite banking. I'm around people who do this. I'm around this creativity on how to capture my money permanently, how to make it safe, how to make it grow safely, and then what to do with it, what to do with that capital. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What you just said was perfect. I want to reiterate an example that I have in my personal life some of our clients have befriended us on Facebook and they see the house and now they're seeing the pool being built. But I want to reiterate how you can use this and the choice that you have, but how your mind should be always, you should always, I think this is constructive to talk about. You should always be thinking, okay, expecting a windfall. Can I put it somewhere? Where's the best place to put it? Do I have the ability to expand my infinite banking system? Have I done those things? And if you're a client, if we've done some, convertible term, that means you do have some room to expand. So what I've decided to do, and again, it's pending windfall though, right? I've got a promissory note out there that's now overdue and it's accumulating interest and it's a very trustworthy person and I know it'll come back. But anyway, I have some known expenses coming up probably September, October, right? I've got a premium due between now and then, and I've got a premium due around that time frame. But what I'm going to do is this anticipated windfall, I'm going to do another premium deposit fund strategy where I prepay a policy for 10 years with whatever the windfall is. I'm not going to try to get to a specific number. It's just going to be exactly what it is. And that's going to create a new whole life policy that's prepaid for 10 years. I'm going to use my existing more mature policies that have significant cash value to pay those bills that I need to pay come whenever the house is complete, basically, is what I'm waiting for. The house is complete. I'm going to owe some money to the pool people, to the builder. And I've got that money right now. And, but then knowing that, okay, I've created a hole with policy loans this fall and I'll use existing cash flows to just slowly pay those back.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go. No pressure.
Banking. No pressure. That is IBC at its finest, but I've captured dollars that I know have to go out the door anyway. I've captured those dollars forever, created permanent death benefit, dividends, compound interest, you know, all of the things and why we love whole life. I've created another one of those things, another branch to my banking system.
Access that money's mine forever.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. That's awesome. I think a good thought experiment for everybody to do while you're, maybe you're listening while you're driving around, but after this, just think, if I won the lottery and got $1 million, what would I do with it? And the typical person is going to be like, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, maybe I'm going to pay off all my credit cards and do this. And then I'm going to go buy a car. I'm going to go buy a house. I'm going to go on vacation. Okay, great. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
So, but go the next step. Okay, well, what if I, you know, I put it somewhere where it's going to be working for me forever and I'll never lose it. What does that look like? But just a thought experiment, use some creativity and think, what would I do if I got $1 million? I know everything I wouldn't do if I got $1 million, just throw it in my lap. And I've got a handful of ideas of what I would do. And none of them are a bad way to go. I've just got multiple options on how to do it. But it's fun to think about, right? Because maybe it'll happen.
Yes, I think, you know, if you have the mindset where it's, I'm going to expand my system, I think that's the right place to start. For any amount of money, really, like a large, you know, six-figure chunk of money, I think it's good to just think, or even if it's less than six figures, that, you know, that might fund a nice juvenile policy for 10 years.
Right. So think about $1 million, but then say, well, can't I do the same thing if I got $10,000?
You could.
Right.
Yep. I've got a client opening a $1,000 a year policy on her two kids. So $2,000 a year total premium on each, $1,000 on each kid. And that's just fine.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be a lot. It just has to be something.
That's right.
All right. Well, cool, man. Another episode where we just hit on how to capture some more wealth that you're losing forever right now. So
yeah,
hopefully everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're curious about the mechanics, that's where we come in, right? We can't get into every little scenario on this podcast. Obviously we're talking sort of in broad strokes, but if you want to, you know, if you're interested in doing this, and a lot of you already reach out and a lot of you are already doing this, but if, you know, this is something to just, you know, thought exercise to think about, like, is there any money that you're losing now that you could incorporate into a new policy to expand your system? There may be a way. And if there is a way, we'll help you get there. There may not be a way, but
yeah. Yep.
There could be.
Right on. All right. Well, thanks everybody. Have a great week. Enjoy the summer weather. And we'll see you back here next week. Until then, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.